Talking History with Patrick Gagan on News Talk 106 to 108.
Well, welcome back to Talking History. A nice email from John Gilbert. She's a regular online listener from Poland. Well, he's in Poland, based in Poland. Hello, Patrick and friends. Good to hear you back on air. One might wonder whether Martin Luther's decisions were helped or hindered by the minimum of 6 litres of beer he consumed daily. And apparently Frederick Salem, in his History of Beer, published in 1880, noted that Luther's fondness for beer was well known. And on the evening of the Diet of Worms, the local duke sent him a pot of Einbecker beer, to which he was specially addicted. Hope this factoid doesn't hinder your exploration of the great man tonight. Well, thanks a million, John Gilbert, listening online from Poland. Thanks a million for that. Well, I'm delighted to welcome to the show two of our leading economists who definitely do not drink a minimum of 6 litres of beer a day. I'm delighted to welcome back to the show Dr. Charles Larkin, researcher in the Department of Economics at Trinity College Dublin, and on the line Dr. Jaco Thijssen, a reader in economics at the University of York, and only recently someone who departed Trinity College Dublin, because they're doing some very interesting work on a Dutch collection in the Trinity College Dublin Library, and it has to do with probability theory. And Jaco, can I start with you? First of all, is there a history of probability theory?
Yes. Good evening, by the way, Patrick. Thanks for having us on the show. There certainly is a history of probability. It started in the mid 1600s, essentially with betting odds in France mainly, and later that got developed by a number of Dutch probabilist, actually, for example, Johan de Witt, who also was an important policymaker at the time. He was a sort of the Secretary of State, and he got very interested in annuities and insurance issues. So the actuarial sciences that we know today were essentially started by people who were at the forefront of policy and probability in those days. And that was, of course, mainly related to all the shipping and the trade that took place from the Netherlands through the East Indies Company. And they were trying to get a handle on how to quantify the risks that were involved in sending ships on such long journeys. And that's pretty much how it all started. Then there were some very interesting contributions which were related to theology, actually. Quite an important development in the history of probability was related to the issue of, can you use probability to prove the existence of God, which was a very important debate at the time in Europe, and a debate that is quite well documented, actually, also in the Trinity Library, which took place between an English probabilist, Arbuthnot, Bernoulli, the famous Bernoulli, and a Dutch professor of mathematics, Schave Zonde. So all these things have been around, and it's very interesting to see that the Fagel Library in Trinity College actually has quite a few of these works that deal with this history of dealing with uncertainty and risk in its collection.
Okay, Charles, I'll bring you in there then. How on earth did this extensive Dutch collection that Jaco talked about there, how did that end up in Trinity College?
Well, the short answer is Napoleon. The long answer is that the Fagel family were a family that held the position of prime minister and foreign minister for roughly a century, and were the successors to Johan de Witt. And their collection was put together as a working library because the entire family was involved in the running of the Dutch state at the time. So there are works throughout it relating to religion, to history, to different countries, to science, to mathematics. And as a result of this collection being put together, it was considered extremely valuable. And when the Napoleonic armies took over Holland, they confiscated it. For a brief period of time in 1801, it fell out of confiscation, and Hendrik Fagel, who was then the head of the family, escaped with it to London. And in 1802, Trinity College purchased it from Christie's for £8,000 sterling and brought it back to Dublin, primarily because they desired to have the maps, which related to French military installations.
And Charles, what exactly is in the collection? Because Jaco was talking about, you know, that they were kind of almost gambling on things. So what kind of things were they gambling on, and what do we learn from this collection?
Well, the collection has quite extensive pieces of history relating to tulip mania.
They were betting on tulips?
Yes, in the 1630s, most importantly in 1636 and 37, there was a giant surge in the price of tulips in Amsterdam. And this is the famous tulip mania that's considered the grandfather of all economic panics and manias. At its height, it was considered to be to be an exclusive event in history.
So why were they so interested in tulips? Was there a shortage of tulips? Were there too many? Were they gambling on the colors?
It was essentially gambling on the colors, is actually what it was about.
You're kidding. I was joking there.
No, you aren't joking, because there were special tulips called flames, and they were tulips that were infected with a special virus, and they came out in special colors. And these tulips were considered especially prized, and in 1636, there began to be a run on them. And all of the contracts were designed as futures contracts, which meant that you arrange the agreement now, but you pay it later. And this ran out of control. It was an unregulated market. It combined with a bout of bubonic plague. And by the end of it all, the entire system went crashing and brought much of the Dutch economy at the time with it. And the Fagels were incredibly interested in this and other events of chance, as they would describe them.
And Jaco, where do black swans come into this?
Well, essentially, what a lot of what happens at the moment in say the Irish policy debate on the knowledge economy, innovation. So you're looking for a concept which has been dubbed recently the black swan, which is a very low probability but high impact event. So, for example, the way that personal computers took off was something that no one really forecasted. I mean, even the CEO of IBM at the time is on record of saying that he didn't think there would be a market for more than something like 200 PCs in the world. And it's these kind of major events that have a very small probability of happening that also had an interest for the Farkles, because it is the event, for example, that you send out a ship full of spices from the Dutch East Indies back to Amsterdam, and the ship gets into a storm and sinks. So these are very high impact events with a very low probability, and you try to get some kind of handle on those kind of events numerically, and that's what this whole development of probability around that time was about.
And Jaco, everyone always says that, you know, we always make the same mistakes as in the past and we never learn from history. So you're a top economist and you're looking at these things in history that had to do with probability. From studying that, can you then, you know, see where we're going wrong at the present and maybe things that we should do differently based on this kind of long view of probability theory?
I suppose that we have a better understanding now, than about what probability is about. But still, it seems to me, if you follow the debate in Ireland about a lot of issues, is that at an intuitive level, people, not just policymakers, but people in general, don't really have an intuitive grasp of what probability, what risk actually means.
They do now?
I suppose we do, yes. But it would have been good if we'd had thought about these things a little bit beforehand. But actually, even if we had thought about it beforehand and had deemed what has happened a very low probability event, we now see that those events do happen, so it's a very counterintuitive. It doesn't come natural to people. There's a lot of psychological research in the past 10-20 years that shows that it's very difficult for people to deal with these kind of issues. And that's actually something you see throughout the history of probability, even though there have been major advances at the mathematical level in probability, but the actual applications of it are still very similar to what people did 200-300 years ago.
Okay, so sometimes we really only know when something is a black swan after it's happened.
Almost always, I would say.
That's damn, it always catches us out. And Charles, you're also involved in a book on the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, which kind of ties in a way, because you're looking with Professor Colin Carney on the IMF and its intervention in Nicaragua. But there you have an example of maybe an institution which, you know, maybe went down a wrong path in recent times, wasn't able to spot how things were developing.
Well, bringing it back to the issue of how policymakers use the science of the time, the International Monetary Fund is an organization which is entirely built upon the science of economics, if one could call economics a science, and how it's applied. And it is a question about how do policymakers think about these things. The IMF can think about these things in hard statistical calculations, but in many cases, the people who are designed to implement them are politicians, who they themselves might not be au fait with the complexities of the statistical analyses that they're supposed to be becoming masters of, or trying to come to understandings of how these will have knock-on effects within their economy. And it's always been the problem for the IMF as a organization made up of professional statisticians and economists in communicating these complex ideas and worldviews to politicians who typically think in terms of 4 or 5 year voting cycles.
So what you're saying is we should put all our money into tulips. That's the advice I'm getting. We'll leave it at that. My thanks to Dr. Charles Larkin, Department of Economics, Trinity College Dublin, and Dr. Yakuth Thyssen, reader in economics at the University of York. We'll be right back after the break when we're going to be talking about the very controversial Feathered on Sea boycott. So stay with us on News Talk.
Talking history with Patrick Gagan on News Talk 106 to 108.